Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast. Very excited to welcome Music Record Shop on sponsoring this episode. Music Record Shop is a premier record store featuring the largest selection of new vinyl in the St. Louis area, as well as new cassettes, CDs, and used vinyl. They offer hard-to-find titles from your favorite local St. Louis acts, as well as world-renowned bands. Official store hours are Tuesday through Thursday, 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. or later. Located in the heart of the Grove at 4191 Manchester Avenue, right in between the demo and the ready room. Find them online at musicrecordshop.com, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Tell them the Rock Paper Podcast sent you. Are you and your friends trying to figure out what to do tonight? Hit up do314.com, the best place to find out about all the concerts and comedy shows and art openings and other cool stuff going on around St. Louis every night of the week. They're also giving away tickets to shows and festivals all the time. Go follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at do314. Take it from me, I'm always trying to find shows, and this is where I go, do314.com.
This is Matt Newland of the Sham Film Festival. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Shane Presley, Rock Paper Podcast, episode 91. I'm hanging out here in a red coat in Plaza Front Neck with Matt Newland, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I'll make sure I say that right.
Yep.
Matt Newland from the Sham Film Festival, second annual Sham Film
Festival. That's right.
So, coming up, you have a preview weekend, August 1st.
Right.
And then the actual festival will be September 25th and
26th. Yep, that's right.
So, and what's Sham Film Festival or filmfest.com?
Shamfilmfestival.com.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got a Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Oh, yeah, and Facebook, just / Sham Film Festival, and then Twitter is just at Sham Film Fest.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. No Instagram yet.
It's
just too much.
Right.
We don't take that many pictures, sure. So unless you want pictures of my lunch, there's not really going to be much on there.
Yeah. So yeah, man, tell me about this. Like, what's how this come about?
It came about about 2.5 years ago. It was an idea I had. I used to be a film critic, and I've gone to film festivals for the last couple of years, like South by Southwest in Austin every year, St. Louis International Film Festival here in St. Louis every year, and I was seeing a lot of videos online of people posting, like, you know, short films and, like, mockumentaries, spoof, you know, all the stuff that we share online and Twitter and things like that, and it really struck me of how good these films are, and, like, people are putting their blood, sweat, and tears into these things, and they're, like, amazing.
Yeah.
But they're not getting recognition. Like, they're not going to get into any film festival. They're not going to be at Cannes. They're not going to be at South By. They're not going to be at Sundance. I just thought, you know, these people need recognition just like any other filmmakers. So I kind of floated the idea, like, almost half-joking to my wife, and she was like, that's an amazing idea. And I'm like, okay, great. And then I talked to my buddy John, who's an attorney and just a brilliant, brilliant guy, said, would you be interested in doing this? Yeah, someone's not picking up their food. I said, would you be interested in doing this? And he's like, yeah, let's go for it. And then so that was about, we kind of started coming up with the idea and fundraising for about 18 months and then put it on first year last October.
Right on.
Yeah, so now we're going into our second year.
Yeah, that's exciting, man.
Yeah, it's going really, it's a lot of fun to do. It's, you know, stressful, but it's really, really fun.
Yeah, so just a labor of love then, right?
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's I mean, that's cool to kind of. I mean, that's we're kind of in that, you know, era where people can do more, you know, DIY kind of video.
Oh yeah,
you know, like we're, yeah, you know, and it doesn't have to be a full feature film.
No,
it's just
No, I mean, one of the more popular categories we have is, and that you'll see online a lot, is fake movie trailers.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're pretty easy to shoot. They're low budget. You can shoot them, you know, on location. And because you can get camera equipment and, you know, edit things on your laptop now, like, people are just doing it on the fly, on the weekends, and amateurs, so it doesn't have to be professional level. And those are the kind of people we really want to showcase. We really want to say, look at this hard work people have done. Let's, you know, show it in a theater. Let's really, you know, get it out there so people, so maybe they can get more coverage, more attention, so that they can go on and do more stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just had a friend on here, he's living in California now, he's a comic, but Zach Noe Towers was on the show a bit ago.
Yeah.
And he shot a little, I think it's 11 minutes total.
Right.
Little short film, little kind of like kind of a dark comedy.
Yeah.
It's called Killer Friends or Killer Buddies. I forget now.
Yeah, I haven't heard of it.
I think it was maybe one at, and then switched to the other or something. Anyway.
Right, yeah.
One way or another. One of those. And, but yeah, he just had like a little, when he was in town a bit ago, he was at Pride Fest and performing, and then he had like his, you know, whatever you want to call it, movie showing at the Wash U campus.
Oh, cool.
And they, gave him a whole, like, kind of a whole treatment there, and he got
that's
there.
Awesome.
So yeah, I think he said it went well. I was texting him afterwards, and I didn't make it. I was kind of bummed out, but he gave me the link to watch it online, and it was really funny stuff.
Cool.
But it's kind of, he's like this kind of the friend that I don't know, he says all kinds of rude things, and everybody just, like, kind of hates him, and, like, they keep trying to, like, secretly trying to kill him and stuff kind of thing. They, like, you know, take him into this, going camping, and I don't know, so, but it's kind of one of those things, like, it's
definitely dark comedy.
Yeah, right, but, it just keeps kind of backfiring, like, you know, one of those, it's kind of one of those things where it's just, never goes right, so.
Right, that's cool. See, and that's cool that, you know, he was able to make, I mean, just... You know, I've never made a film myself. Like, I've really never been interested in, like, actually making a film, but I've always loved them, and I've always, like, wanted other people to watch them. So, like, it just amazes me, anyone who actually accomplishes it,
sure.
and makes one and finishes it and edits it and puts it in the can, so to speak. You know, that's just amazing to me. And so as many people can see it as possible, whether you're sharing online or not, I just think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that's really, really cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for him, in his particular case, I mean, like you're saying on the show, with, you know, he wants to he's a stand-up comic, but he wants to act and wants to do this, you know, different stuff, so it was a good way for him to get his own project to kind of feature what he can do and stuff, and the fact that he wrote it and stuff too and all that, you know, just more credits for him, so.
Oh, sure. Well, and that's what's cool for people who are trying to make it happen. I mean, there's so many web series now online. Like, if you go on YouTube or Vimeo, like, the number of web series is just amazing, and it's all these people just doing it themselves, just writing and directing it themselves, just to get themselves out there. And it's like, that's awesome. If that's how you get noticed and get attention and get work, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's cool that we're in a time where that can really, really happen. Whereas, like, when I was in my early 20s or college, like, that wasn't possible. You had to buy the equipment, you had to rent studio space and, like, make it happen. Now it's just whenever, wherever, you can make something.
I listened to a lot of Howard Stern, and they were talking about, I mean, it's a little different, but, like, this, speaking of YouTube, they were talking about this. I think it was like Call of Duty or one of them, one of the big games.
Yeah.
But this guy, or I don't know. Anyway, this kid was making like videos on his computer, put them on YouTube, and it was, probably wouldn't call it Duty. Anyway. But he's making these videos, and people started, you know, subscribing and becoming, you know, really liking his videos. And then, like, the company, the game, like, hired him. And
that's cool.
So, because they liked his work. So now he's got a job making millions of dollars because they liked his videos.
That's amazing. I mean, like, that's so cool that people are able to do that.
Man.
Yeah. That's
and
awesome.
And it's all, you know, it's just, I mean, that's a, probably a rare case, but I mean, the fact that you can take doing something you love and make it a career just because of the power of YouTube now. And
it's amazing. Well, that comedian, that young guy, Bo Burnham, does the funny, that's exactly how he got. He just started making videos with his, like, in high school.
Yeah.
And they just exploded. And now he's, you know, he's got had a Comedy Central. Yeah. He's had all these specials. He tours. That's amazing.
Yeah, I think I've seen Bo twice.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. He's a talented guy. Yeah. It's like, he, you know, those kind of people, they deserve to have that, sure, that success. So it's cool that this is the avenue where it's happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So back to the festival, though. Mm-hmm. You guys got that, like, split up in different categories, too, right?
Yeah. So people can submit in different categories. We have between 5 and 6, we have mockumentaries is a big one, because, you know, doing stuff like The Office and Spinal Tap and Waiting for Guffman, you know, that's one that's... It's a recognizable format now, like after The American Office and things like that. So it's, in terms of audience, it's easy for people to recognize. So I think that's why it's the most popular. But we have movie trailer parodies, movie trailer spoofs, fake TV commercials, fake PSAs, which are my favorite. We don't get nearly enough of. So we have different categories that people can submit in. And then, you know, then we also have just like a general... It's listed as satire, but it's just sort of a general category for, you know, kind of whatever, like any kind of comedy that's kind of lampooning something, you can kind of stick it in there and submit, because, you know, like I said, we're open to kind of anything. You know, I'm hoping eventually we'll expand. Our first year was just one night. This year we're going to be two nights. So every year we kind of expand more and more, and eventually it might just open up to be more of a comedy festival rather than specific, you know, or exclusively spoofs and mockumentaries. Mm-hmm. But we'll kind of see how it goes and evolves depending on, you know, what the call is, what the material is.
Mm-hmm. You watch the Grindhouse movies?
A little bit, yeah.
Robert Rodriguez.
Oh, like Grindhouse, the actual movie? Yeah, the one that they did together.
And then they put those, like, fake trailers.
Yeah, exactly. That's the exact thing. Yeah, that's exactly the kind of stuff that I love. Because that took it to, like, it made it so much more real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that that was, like Machete led to...
A real movie.
Two now, I guess.
There was. Yeah. Machete.
Machete Kills.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's like, that's crazy that can happen. Yeah, that's true. I completely forgot that they did that. Well, that reminds me. So I was at Comic-Con this past week, and one of the films... So we have three feature-length films this year. So we're going to have shorts and then feature-length. One of the feature-length films we're going to have is called Dude Bro Party Massacre 3. The title alone is amazing. But it's this amazing, amazing 80s slasher movie spoof by 5 Second Films, the guys that, you know, have been huge online for a long time. It's a feature-length, like 90 minutes. So they had a screening at Comic-Con. So I went there, met the guys, watched the film again with an audience. The audience went crazy. It's a hilarious film. But they made it as if it was, you know, made back in 1985 or whatever it is. But then they took it a step further, as if it was recorded on someone's VCR. So, like, it's really bad recording. They got tracking running along at the bottom.
Nice.
But then they also cut away to, we'll be right back after these commercials. And then they put fake commercials in that they cut off. So it'll be like 5 seconds of a fake commercial. And they get more and more ridiculous as the movie goes on.
Yeah.
So same kind of thing where, you know, you really play with the reality and, like, the fakeness and stuff like that. It's like, that kind of creativity is just is just mind-blowing. It's so cool when people, like, really take the joke to an extreme.
Right. Did you catch that Kung Fury?
No, I didn't go to the panel, and I still haven't watched the whole thing online.
Yeah.
But I need to, because I've heard it's hilarious.
I mean, the trailer alone was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Like, I could just watch the trailer and be happy. I don't even need the full message.
I started watching the movie. I mean, the whole thing's up on YouTube now.
Yeah,
and stuff,
yeah, so. They just put it on there for free. Yeah. And I heard from someone who was at Comic-Con that the director of Kung Fury is working to expand to do a feature length.
Okay.
And that he had a meeting, I don't know how, but he has a meeting with Steven Spielberg, apparently, to talk about doing a feature length version of it. I'm like, that's insane.
Yeah.
Like, how does that even happen? You know, so.
But yeah, it was definitely, that's sort of the kind of thing, like, I don't know, for in that particular case, like, the trailer was great, and it's just like, you know, pretty much everything you really needed to be. But then, like, watching the movie, like, the opening is so crazy. It's like, comes out with such a bang, and then it's like, it's hard to kind of keep that going,
keep that momentum, you know? that level of intensity. Yeah.
It does kind of, like, maybe about 10 minutes in, you kind of start kind of feeling like you start losing it a little bit,
right?
You know?
Yeah,
it's like, it's hard to. So I, like, that's about where I've kind of faded off twice.
So, like, the excitement kind of wanes a little bit.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't want to, like I said, I haven't finished it, so I
sure, yeah, I don't know.
I need to watch the rest of it, but as a fan already, like, you know, it's like, I mean, if it was just that trailer, or that brief, you know, it could be like that would be perfect for me. Like that's you know, it covered everything you needed.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, when I first saw the trailer, I'm like, oh, well, that's it. It's a fake movie trailer. Yeah. So a movie that would actually exist. Then I found out, no, it really it's a trailer for a real movie that you know, I think it's like 31 minutes. Yeah. Or something like that. I'm like, that's crazy that someone did that because it's all, I mean, it's all green screen. So, you know,
it looks so good though.
It looks so good. Yeah. It's so crazy.
Right.
One film I saw at South by Southwest this year that I tried so hard to get at our festival and I just couldn't make it happen. It's called Turbo Kid. And it's kind of like, did you hear about that?
I saw the trailer, yeah.
Oh, it's brilliant. So like Dude Bro Party Massacre, the one I was just talking about, it's same thing where they make it as if it was made in the early 80s, and it's set in the future of 1997 in this, you know, post-apocalyptic wasteland.
Right.
But it's not as spoofy. It's more like a genuine homage while also being funny. It's like, if you told me it had been made in the 80s, I'd be like, yeah, it looks like it was made in the 80s. Like, it's so authentic and hilarious and just
cheesy and
gory and cheesy. And just all these movies that I watched when I was a kid. And I'm just like, oh, this is amazing. So that's one that I sadly was not able to make happen. But it's I think they're going to have a pretty wide limited release here pretty soon from what I've kind of heard.
Right. Yeah, there was a... I don't know... I think I follow Kurt Bromholder online. He's a comic.
Yeah.
And I think he shared it, and then I just caught my curiosity, and I watched it, and I was like, I need this now.
It's crazy. It's so crazy. Yeah. Well, it's so good. I was actually telling a friend the other day, did you see Mad Max Fury Road?
Oh, yeah.
Amazing, right?
Yeah, just for sure.
Brilliant. It's kind of like that in its... detail, like it's this very lived-in world, so like they don't really get down to the nitty-gritty of how things happen and why people are the way or whatever like this. So kind of like Mad Max, but like the costumes and the sets and the props are all really authentic looking, and they're all worn out, and they're all they look like it's, you know, this world after an apocalypse kind of feel. And it's just like they really took their time to like kind of create this world in their minds and then put it on screen, but not delve on it and dig into every single little piece of history.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's cool. It's so, yeah, if you get a chance to see it, if it eventually gets released online or whatever, definitely watch it, because it's awesome.
I saw a little bit of this new movie coming out with kind of in a similar feel to it. Not as quite 80s, but like what is the new movie from that the same guy that did Saw, Lee, or whatever.
I don't know his name.
I think like Lee Whannell or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Anyway, he was called Cooties.
Oh, that's going to be amazing. Yeah, I cannot wait for that. Yeah, they were at Comic-Con, but I wasn't able to go to it.
Yeah.
But that's going to be hilarious.
Yeah, I was watching Conan, and he was at Comic-Con.
Yeah,
and, and it was, well, what's his name now?
Elijah Wood?
Yeah, Elijah Wood. He was on the set, so he obviously was promoting it because he in the movie and stuff. But I was like, this looks fantastic.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be released in September. I think it's September. So I'm like, I'm hoping it gets released in St. Louis.
Cause
I just, the cast is amazing. It's such a ridiculous idea.
Right.
It's so stupid, but I just think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I forget who he said the other part of the creative was, but... It was like half Saw and half...
Something else.
Yeah.
Because it's a perfect blend of the two, for sure. Because it looks like it gets real, real bloody and gory, but like it's also hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to look up and see who the other half is, but I remember that it's two guys. Or two people from different worlds.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited about that. There was a lot of good stuff on Conan. I mean, just because he's at Comic-Con, but just all the... I mean, there's so much going on this year in movies, and especially if you're like they had Chris Hardwick on because he's been hosting a bunch of panels and stuff. But he was saying how it's a good year to be a nerd. I mean, you got you got a Batman Superman movie, you got you know, just what a Fantastic Four movie coming out. You got
Suicide Squad trailer got released, you know, Ant-Man's this weekend.
Yeah,
if you're a comic book nerd, this is your year, man. Like, this and then the next 5 years. Because, like, they've already announced their slate for, like, the next 5 years. It's just like, let's just get them right first and then kind of see how it goes.
Yeah. Have you seen, I wrote down the Goosebumps trailer. Did you watch that one?
No, I forgot. I didn't see it when it got posted because I was out of town. I need to go back and look at it. Does it look good?
So... being, you know, my age, we grew up reading them.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so like you're a fan in that sense, but like as the movie, like I was watching it, and like it, you know, the nostalgia is there and things, yeah. But like it's also kind of weird because it's like there's so much of it all. And it's not like, you know, one story. It's all like
it's like a bunch of
yeah.
Them.
So like the kind of, the trailer, they like open up one book, and then it's like the Abominable Snowman comes to life, and stuff like that. So it's like, so there's all these monsters in it. So it's gonna be like, I feel like it's just gonna be them running from monsters the whole movie.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. Does it? It's gonna be more of a kids movie, right?
Yeah, it's definitely more PG-ish. You know, kind of thing. I don't think it's gonna be anything.
I don't think it'll be. But it's kind of cool though because it. From what I understand, R.L. Stine is a character. It's Jack Black,
yeah,
right?
Jack Black.
So, like,
yeah.
I give him credit even for like trying to do something different like that and try to get a little bit more meta about it. I give him credit for doing it that way, kind of like the Lego movie. You know, it's like if they're being creative and trying it, I'll give you my $12 if you're going to make it more than just like a standard, you know, Hollywood production. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. It's just nothing really stood out like really well to me. Like they did flash a lot of different monsters throughout the movie trailer and stuff. If you, I don't know. I'll give it a shot though. Like I said,
I'll try it.
Yeah. The Suicide Squad trailer came out too. You said, and I don't know. That's another one. Like, actually, don't want to give anything away, being that still got a long way to go. And it's still just the trailer, but like it's kind of a little slow and it kind of gives you a glimpse of everybody, but it's like it doesn't really give you any idea really what's going
what
on.
What it is, and that's what I kind of, but I kind of read something that it's instead of a trailer, they're calling it a sizzle reel, so it's just more to kind of, same like you said, just to show all the characters around it, because I'm like, I don't know what the story is. I get that they're coming together to do something, but what is that thing? How are they saving the world? Yeah, so I want to know. I want to see an actual trailer for it, but it looks cool. Like visually, it looks cool. Like I'm like, okay, I'm on board with that world because it looks dark and dirty and violent. And I'm like, yeah, sign me up.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see. Yeah. I don't know about that one.
You and you said how that kind of a Mad Max world and stuff too. How like it's just so believable, you know, stuff, you know, like it's nice when the movie, they don't have to really give you much of the backstory or whatever and things like.
If you do it right, you don't need to.
I was listening to this other podcast actually today at work, and they were kind of talking about the like Superman movie and stuff, and how like, you know, even the new one, or the latest one, how like, you know, it like, you know, first half of the movie is all this origin story stuff, and it's like, we know Superman. You don't have don't waste our time. Just get, you know, get into it and like
start. We're on board. We all know who Superman is. Well, and that's the only thing. So the I totally agree with that. The Batman Superman trailer though, which it looks amazing. I'm like, dude, it needs to be 2016 now. Right. I need to see this movie. I don't care if it's not like complete. I want to see it. But the only thing that bummed me out is there's like a split second scene where you see his, you know, Batman's parents, Bruce Wayne's parents being shot in front of him. And I'm like, we can't be doing this again. This is like the 12th time we've seen an iteration of that scene. Stop showing when his parents are killed. We get it. We all know how it happened. So that's the only thing that bummed me out. But otherwise, I think it looks fantastic. I think that's cool. I mean, I like Man of Steel. I for all its faults, I'm a Zack Snyder fan. So like that's first and foremost. But yeah, I think for all its faults, I thought it was a really, really good movie. So, like, this one, I think is going to be even better. So, I'm hoping anyway. Who knows?
Yeah. So, what got you into being a critic? How did you get into doing that?
After college, you know, I just started working a normal 9-to-5 job, and I didn't really have any creative outlet. Kind of like you were saying earlier before we started. And I, so, my ex-wife, my wife at the time, said, you know, you should, you know, start writing movie reviews, because like I did in high school a little bit, and I've always been a movie nerd, like the person who like pushes movies on people. She's like, you know, so I started like asking around places in St. Louis, and you know, I was able to start writing for this website here in St. Louis, and then from there on out, just kind of got on with more and more websites, and I did for like 8 years, you know, different websites, some local, some national, and then just, you know, did it, got to see movies for free and write about them, and it was awesome. And then once I just stopped doing it earlier this year when Sham kind of became like bigger, I'm like, okay, I really need to dedicate myself to the film festival. And you know, I kind of run its course with the film critic gig, so I just sort of switched gears. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was cool.
Sure. There's a guy I really like, Peter Rollis. He was doing a sort of kind of how we talked about earlier, the YouTube stuff. He was doing like two episodes a week. Like Tuesday, he would do like the DVD release, and then Friday he would do the new movie, you know, box office stuff
cool.
the weekend. And I think he did like 600 episodes on his YouTube channel.
Nice, that's awesome.
Like as he was going, like you saw, you kind of got to follow his progress in, but like he kept wanting to work towards the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was for that internship movie.
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn and
Luke Wilson or.
Yeah.
Yeah, Luke. No.
Yeah, I know somebody who did that once.
I think it was
the other Wilson.
Owen
Wilson, yeah.
I think it was for that movie, or some one of the somewhere in there like that. But he wrote a review, and he got his quote featured on the cover of the DVD and all that.
Holy
stuff.
Holy crap, that's awesome!
So, and as he was working towards it, he started RollisReview.com.
Yeah,
and then so the tag on the cover, you know, says Peter Rollis with RollisReview.com.
Yeah.
And so, like, that was a big opportunity for him.
That's huge.
And so, quit doing the YouTube thing, and he was just focusing on the site, trying to get it up and going, become the best movie site. He can make it be, you know, it's got all the trailers, and he puts his reviews on there and all that stuff. So it's a nice little site he's got going. And, but he just, I was like, I kind of forgot about him because I don't typically read a lot of reviews. So I really loved the YouTube channel he had. And I was, you know, obviously I subscribed and got excited every Tuesday. I look forward to it. So the video worked. I didn't really care to read them. But just the other day, so like I said, I'm subscribed, and a video kicks up that he's back, and he just did another one, and I guess it was like a test. It was just him and this girl, and it was like green screen. Usually he's got like it was green screen, but it was a nice production kind of value to it.
Yeah.
He added all this stuff in, and but in this one, there's nothing. It was like a test kind of thing, and maybe just try to see if it was going to work with the co-host it was all right.
I mean, it was just testing a new format, kind of
a little bit. It's kind of like it kind of reminded me of SportsCenter because he had like the thing on the side, like the topics he was going to touch.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah,
so
that is SportsCenter.
It's kind of like that. Like,
I don't know if that's necessary for a movie or a review
show,
but
AMC does one like that too. Movie bag or something, or whatever they call it.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've seen that. Yeah, and it's real. It's just too much. It's too much production. Like I don't need all the fancy stuff.
So maybe I don't know if he was trying to copy off of that kind of format, but anyway, they talked about like Jurassic World, Mad Max, a couple other big releases lately.
Right.
And I kind of gave their quick little reviews on them.
Yeah.
And that was funny because this girl, the co-host, said something about neither of them really like Jurassic World.
Right, right.
And they said, you know, the first one, it doesn't hold up to the first one.
Mm.
And she goes, yeah, I liked them all. Like, and I was like, started reading YouTube comments just because it's a good time.
Yeah.
And everybody just started ripping on her because, like, she lost all credibility being that she said she liked 2 and 3.
As soon as she said that.
Yeah. I was like, nobody likes 2 and 3.
No, no. And, you definitely lose. You go down in your status for saying that. Oh, God, those are horrible movies.
Yeah,
I didn't like Jurassic World either. I was so disappointed. I was just let down by it. Yeah.
I was a fan, man. I was...
Really?
Had everything that I wanted in it.
Yeah.
You know, big dinosaurs and action and stuff. I mean, there was
well,
there was definitely
good,
flaws, but I had a real good time. I felt it was you know, it's not going to win any, you know.
No.
Plot, but, well, you know, story
no,
awards.
No, not like, at all. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I was going in with, like, cautious optimism about it. Because, yeah, I mean, you're never going to match the first one. It's just not possible. But, like, I was really disappointed because, like, the first hour of it I thought was fantastic. Mm-hmm. It was, like, the first hour was cool and the world building and, like, the way the park was designed and setting up all the rides and how it would, like, in reality, how it would probably work. I thought it was really cool. And it's funny they had this, like, great, like, self-referential satire. Mm-hmm. And, like, this might be really, really good. And then when, like, the action started and everything went crazy, it was just, like, exactly the first movie over.
Yeah.
Like, the exact, like, the beats are the same, the climax is the same, the character. I'm like, God, like, really?
Sure.
So I think I was more turned off from it because it let me down after it had, like, built up really good at the beginning. But I mean, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't good. Mm-hmm. I think it was a harmless movie in the end. But I mean, hey, it's made $500 million or something like that. Like, it's insane.
I liked a lot of the how like that it was in that same world kind of thing. Like, you know, the fact that they found the Jeep and stuff like that. That whole thing was
cool.
Yeah, it was just kind of nice to tie it all together.
Yeah. Well, and I thought it was cool. Like in the beginning, when you see Jake Johnson, who I love, I think I got to tell this. When he's wearing Jurassic Park shirt, and you're like, okay, cool. So we acknowledge the first one. We acknowledge we're in that world. I think if they had left it there, it would have been enough. Like finding the Jeeps, I'm just like, dude. So like they were using the same vehicles. Like, I'm like, you're just you went too far. Like you went past it being like an homage or a reference. You went to just completely ripping it off.
And the fact that they got the battery or got the Jeep to start after sitting for 20 years.
That was ridiculous. Yeah. That was ridiculous. But hey, whatever. Yeah. I mean, maybe you can do it. I'm not a mechanic.
Yeah, it was entertaining.
Yeah.
Two teenagers, you know, whatever, like two young boys going.
Yeah, on their own, facing dinosaurs and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I was bummed.
You ever watched that YouTube series, How It Should Have Ended?
No, I keep hearing about it, but I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't. This is my first experience with it.
Yeah.
Somebody shared on Facebook the Jurassic World one.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I watched it, and I was cracking up. Like, it was some really funny stuff. Like, just a lot of these same kind of points that everybody thinks. Like, there was, like the gyrosphere things. Like, they were it's all animated. And it's really beautifully animated. And, and actually, the voices, like, the people that are doing the movie voices, like, sound a lot like the actual character voices.
Cool.
So, like, they do a really good job doing all of it. But there was, like, the clip of the gyrosphere thing, and then, like, they rolled over, like, some dinosaur poop, and it was, like, all brown, like, as it rolling around. Like,
that's so awesome. Yeah. That would be good. That would be good if that was actually in the movie.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I need to watch that series, though, because I hear it's good.
Yeah, I'll send that one to you.
Yeah, send it to me, because I want to watch those. Because, like, those and then, like, the Honest Trailers
are
brilliant. Even for movies, like, I'm a diehard Christopher Nolan fan. I just think the man's brilliant. But, like, I'll still watch those Honest Trailers. It's I mean, his movies have flaws, like any movies, and I'm just, like, begrudgingly laughing because they're so funny and they're so accurate. Like, they just pick out the stuff and it's like, yep, no, you're absolutely right about that. That is ridiculous.
And that's the thing. Like, you don't have to, I mean, they're funny regardless if you like the movie or you hated the movie.
Yeah.
You're going to love the Honest
Trailers.
They're
so funny. They're so funny.
Yeah,
I love that.
But I think, you know, like you said, even being a fan, you can even laugh at it more because you know there's the things that are corny or whatever it is, but you can still appreciate.
There's
going to
be mistakes for sure. Yeah.
All that stuff, you know, kind of ties into everything you know you're trying to do too. So like it's cool.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what if anybody could be featured in the festival and wind up in that series or whatever that kind of stuff. So.
That's like I said, one of the reasons we do is so that people don't think that they're limited just to putting things online. You know, we want people to have that opportunity to have a theater experience to see their work on the big screen, like any of the more established, let's say, I'll be honest, legit festival. You know, any of the more established festivals, audiences get to watch movies and filmmakers get to interact with audiences and. A lot of times people don't get that with these types of films, and we want them to have that. So that's what that's our goal. And so far, I think we've been successful this year. I think it's going to be even better because we're going to have a wider, a larger program, so a wider array of films.
Yeah. So, is that like, I mean, are you doing a lot of the inviting, or is the people coming to you too?
For the submissions?
Yeah.
It's a combination. So, we're up on two different websites. People can submit through two websites. One's called Without a Box, one's called Film Freeway. And they, you know, we're listed on there so people can search for, you know, if they have a mockumentary or if they have a spoof or a parody, like they can search those keywords, or like comedy or short film, they can search it and find us. Some people, you know, they found out of us just through our social media, you know, actions and stuff like that. But then we'll also go out and curate. Like, we'll, a couple of the feature-length films that we're having, it is because I've heard about them, and I'm like, this would be perfect for our festival, you should submit. And they were on board, and they're excited, so we did it that way. I found some other filmmakers, just stuff that is shared online. Like, that's how I heard about it. I'm like, no, you deserve, you know, a theatrical showing, so submit it. Let's do that. So it's a combination of things, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Just totally spacing out.
No, that's fine. Yeah, you're fine.
I don't know. There was another movie trailer I wanted to talk about. It's totally different, but that Fantastic Four trailer. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that yet? No?
Yeah, I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah. I mean, it looks fun.
I think it'll be fun. Yeah, for sure. Like, it looks fun. It looks like it'll be entertaining. I just don't know if it's going to be good.
Sure. Look, yeah. I mean, I think it looks better than the first.
Oh god, that was bad. That was really bad. Yeah, no, I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be a good movie to watch, but I don't think it's going to compare with all the other big superhero movies that have come out. I just don't think it's going to be anywhere near the same league. So,
right. Yeah, it'd be kind of interesting. Like, you know, obviously they Avengers have been a huge success.
Yeah,
and then. You know, now with Suicide Squad, kind of that whole a similar kind of idea. You know, and then the Fantastic Four. Like,
right.
I think people seems like they like these. You know, instead of the independent, you know, individual,
like the solo movies. Yeah, right. No, it seems like the grouping. Well, that's like what the new. Batman Superman is supposed to be like setting up. That's why it's Dawn of Justice. It's supposed to be setting up the Justice League movie in like 3 or 4 years. So like I think that's what they're going for. It's these big like group movies or like ensemble superhero movies. And it's like I guess that's the next phase that they keep talking about.
Yeah, the Ocean's 11 of comic book movies.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, the Ocean's 11 for sure.
I was watching that guy said Conan the other night, and he said something about Justice League, how, like, you know, or I think, I'm pretty sure it was Conan, anyway, the joke about Justice League, was, and he was like, you know, Superman leaves, like, all right, we'll just be here waiting for you, Superman, you know, like, nobody else in the Justice League really, like, you know, it's, you know, it's Superman, the big one and stuff. And
right, yeah.
Everybody,
they just wait around for him.
Right, yeah.
No, I think that's totally true. Yeah. I mean, I'm not entirely familiar with the comics, but that's kind of the vibe I get.
Yeah. You know, everybody debates the whole DC Marvel stuff all the time.
Right.
I mean, Marvel's just been killing it in the box office.
Like, destroying DC so far.
So, DC's got their work cut out for them trying to.
Yeah.
Hopefully this movie's huge for them so they can sort of get back into
catch up a little bit. Yeah, I don't really have loyalties one way or the other. I just want it to be a good movie. Like, I don't care if it's DC or Marvel. Like, I just want the movie to be good. Like, that's all I ask.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see.
Anything, other movies you're looking forward to? Or
I'm trying to think of stuff coming out this fall. There's that, the one I'm really excited about is the, I can't remember what it's called, but Tom Hardy plays... twin gangsters, like in the 20s or 30s in London.
Yeah, I forget what they named that.
I don't know what it is, but it just looks amazing. I mean, anything Tom Hardy is in, he's going to be good. You know, that, and then I'm a huge Tarantino fan, so The Hateful Eight comes out this Christmas, so I will be seeing that for sure.
For the holidays, yeah.
Yeah, perfect holiday movie.
I think Django came out for Christmas, too.
It did. It's weird. But, so I will be... Hateful Eight is one that I'll be... Like, everyone's looking forward to Star Wars, which I'm not a Star Wars person, so, like, okay, cool. Like, I will be salivating waiting for the new Tarantino.
Oh, for sure. I, big, huge fan of his. I got, Pulp Fiction guns poster up on my wall.
Cool.
And stuff. Like, I just, big fan. Django's one of my favorites. That's
I bought the Blu-ray collection, the Tarantino 20 Blu-ray collection of all of his films, right plus True Romance and, I think, not Dust Till Dawn, whatever his earlier one that he wrote, but he didn't direct. But yeah, it's all of the movies he's made so far.
It's like the, it's like the one, like a hotel, right?
Four rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's not on there. But whatever the other one is. So it's like, it's all of his films. And then it's got all of these extras. And so it's all of them so far. So I got that and I just like burned through it in like 2 weekends. Right. Annoyed the hell out of my wife with it. And it was awesome. I mean, it's such a cool collection if you're a Tarantino fan.
I've got the Mel Brooks collection.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. All his work. That's another big one for me, for comedy. But yeah, it's fun to have those collections like that. I bought the Django soundtrack on vinyl.
Nice!
And it's like a blood splatter on there.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
so
that's a good soundtrack, man. I need to get that soundtrack. I haven't downloaded it yet, but I need to. It's just so good. Yeah. Such a cool mixture.
And he's, I mean, all of his stuff. Like, I mean, he's, I don't know how much he has a say in all that stuff. Like, I mean, obviously he's got the ultimate say, but. Yeah. I don't know if he just knows the right people to hire to do that, but I mean, you think of how iconic most of his songs are.
Movies.
Like, I mean, obviously, the whole Pulp Fiction dance scene and stuff, and how like, I mean, you gotta have the right music to make those scenes. Like,
I think he's very deliberate with his choices, and like, I think he's as good at picking music for his films as he is making the films, because like, they set a tone. You know, like up until Kill Bill, everything was pop music, so it was all just established songs. And then Kill Bill was the first time he actually had a score, you know, that RZA did for him. And then I think from, you know, then, and then Inglourious Basterds and Django, like, it's kind of been a combination of the two, and like, it's kind of cool to see that evolution. So I'll be interested to see what it does with Hateful Eight, because it's, you know, like with Django, it's, you know, very strange to put like contemporary music in a historical type of situation, but I think he does it perfectly. Like, that's one of like unsung things about Tarantino films, how good the music is.
Yeah, they were saying, heard in an interview like that he was like gonna scrap Hateful Eight because somebody leaked it online.
Originally the script, and then
like, and then like, I guess he went back and he like wrote a whole new movie.
Yeah, something like that. I think. Yeah, I think he got upset because it got leaked, and he's like, "Well, never mind."
Yeah.
And then I think, I don't know if he wrote a whole new script or like a new ending or something like that. But yeah, so like he rewrote it and then put it out. I mean, I don't. As much as I love Tarantino, the man, he has an ego, so I don't think he's ever gonna not do what he wants to do or make the movie he wants to make. Like, even if it got leaked, I think that was a little just bit more of him just kind of throwing a temper tantrum. But I'm glad he did, because it looks awesome. Like, it looks incredible.
But that's also though, like, why would you leak it though? Like, I mean, if you had, like, I don't know.
I don't know how it got leaked. I think someone from a studio or something. Because I remember him getting really angry at whoever I don't know whose studio is now, but I think it was someone had the script and it got, you know, posted online, and he was, you know, talking about suing and all that stuff. Like, it passed over. I think he was just being angry.
It probably also worked to create some sort of a buzz about it too.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So
yeah,
you know, probably,
you can't be too mad.
Yeah, it's always good press if you can get somebody starting talking about it, even if it's in that sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. So what do you have any particular, you know, films or moments or that you can remember that got you really excited about, you know, wanting to get into doing some stuff like this?
The festival?
Where did you become a fan of film like this?
I grew up with them. I mean, my dad was a huge movie person, and like, so I've been watching them for as long as I can remember, like, even when I was like 5 or 6 years old, just watching, and not like kids' movies, like, you know, watching, you know, John Hughes movies when I was like really, really young and didn't really understand them. My dad loved The Great Escape. Like, he loved it, and he watched it all the time. Like, at the time, I was like, this is boring, and I don't get it. But now I watch it, I'm like, this is just an amazing film, and it's so great. So, like, I was always watching movies that were too mature for me. And so, like, I just kind of got more, like, whereas a lot of because I think, you know, you watch the Disney movies for so long. Like, I was watching adult movies. It's like, I just got really committed to, like, real filmmaking, really young. And then, like I said before, I've always been the person who's, like, pushes movies on people. So, like, in high school, I would, like, have watch parties at my house and, like, invite friends over. I'm like, okay, like, my friends had never seen Memento. I'm like, you have to watch Memento. Yeah. And so, like, I would invite everyone over and we would shut the door and I would, like, turn off the lights. I'm like, hey, you can't talk. Like, when this movie starts, you can't talk because you'll miss it. So I would get, like, real, like, real, real anal about it, and overbearing. But so I've always been, like, the person who would, like, showcase movies. And it's like, that's why doing Sham Film Festival now, it's kind of feels like this, an extension of that.
Right.
So like I said, I've never really wanted to make a movie. I've thought about writing a screenplay before, but I'm more like, no, you need to see this. And, like, I'm going to bring you to a place where you have to sit and watch it. And, you know, and be occupied just by that, not distracted and doing something else online. Like, I want you to sit there and watch because I think it's really, really great. So, yeah, I mean, I've just always been just in that kind of world, that kind of mindset.
Yeah. I've been trying to do a little bit of catching up. There's a, like I said, I mentioned Mel Brooks. Like, comedy's always been for me. Like, I just always, there's, you know, just tons of movies that I missed because I pretty much just watched comedies. Like, I mean, we had HBO, growing up in the, you know, and I remember watching, like, Tommy Boy probably 100 times in the summer, whatever, 95 or something, whatever it was. And, you know, honestly, HBO, I could pretty much have any movie on
there. Yeah, so many other things.
But
right.
I would watch, just kept watching Tommy Boy every time it was on.
Oh, sure, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I saw Dumb and Dumber 6 times in the theater.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember 6 times because my dad, by the end of it, he was like, do you guys really want to see this again? I'm like, yes, we want to see it again because it's amazing.
Right.
And it's still an amazing movie.
I think the only one I remember seeing multiple times in theaters, even fairly recently, is Super Troopers.
Yeah.
I remember my buddy worked at the theaters.
Yeah,
and I would get in for free, and I was,
cool.
And so I went to watch it a couple times, and that's another one for me. It just
it's
so
great.
Funny.
Yeah, and I'm bummed. I didn't see that in theater. I didn't get into that. And, like, a lot of people, I just caught it on VHS or DVD, whatever it was at the time. Like, friends, like, in college, like, no, you have to watch Super Troopers.
Yeah.
I'm like, that sounds stupid. Like, no, you need to watch it. So I got into it, long after it was released, more when it became a cult following.
Yeah. Well, they're, I guess, gearing up for, they did a crowdfunding for their sequel.
Cool.
And I think they, I listened to, every now and then, Steve Lemmy and Kevin Heffernan do a podcast together.
I heard about that. Yeah,
Chewing It.
Yeah,
and so those two guys were talking about it, and, like, so that's where I kind of got a little bit of inside to the project. But they did a crowdfunding, and I think they set their goal, like, at $1 million or something like that.
That's a lot to raise.
And they made it in, like, 24 hours.
So, seriously?
Yeah.
They made it? That's awesome. I didn't hear about any of that.
And the million, granted, sounds like a lot, but, like, they said that's, like, the bare essential. Like, if they could just, you know, they could make a movie for $1 million and make it, you know, fun, but... if you want it, you know, like, if the more money they got, they were just going to keep pumping it in the movie. So it was exciting to see how that turns out.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to see a sequel.
All right.
I think it's going to be great.
But, you know, it's, people have got mixed opinions, I think, on the crowdfunding stuff, but I do think it allows, people look at it like, you know, charity or handout kind of, or whatever kind of things, but it's like, really, all you're doing is pre-ordering. You know, it's like, if you really want
to
see this,
it's a good way to look at it. Actually,
I mean, and you get some cool perks along the way. Like, if you want to see Super Troopers 2, you can donate $10, get yourself a movie ticket to it, and
That's actually a really good way. You're investing in and making it happen.
I do it a lot. I mean, a lot of, especially in local music, people that we don't have record labels and things helping them out yet, or and stuff, and they a lot of my friends in local music have reached out doing some crowdfunding things, and and I'll really, you know, like I said, I'll throw in $20 to get a CD and a shirt or whatever it is.
Yeah, sure.
Like,
I mean, the perks are awesome. I mean, the perks definitely entice you to do it. I mean, I've donated to a lot of crowdfunding stuff because, I mean, people donate to the Sham Indiegogo, so it's like, you know, you got to, you know, give back too and help other people. But, yeah, I don't think I would give to, like, a Super Troopers level or, like, when, what's his name, the Garden State guy did...
Zach Braff.
Zach Braff. Like, when he did his crowdfunding, I'm like, no, dude. You've got so much residuals from Scrubs and other... Like, I'm like, I can't give you money. But if someone like less established or like guys like the Super Trooper guy, I mean, they're not huge celebrities, so I get them needing the funding. You know, they're not going to get money from a big studio. But yeah, more I'd rather do someone where it's like their first time or they're trying to break, you know, break out and do something.
Yeah, I think with Zach, I mean, I don't really know how that all worked. I guess it went well for him, but I don't know. But it's just like, and that thing, it's. Like, he probably could do it on his own with his own money and all that, but it's also, like, I think it's also neat that to kind of give the people an opportunity to be a part of it.
Yeah, sure.
So, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he did, you know, like I said, he probably could have easily just, you know, said, oh, I'm just going to do this project. But, you know, it's kind of fun in that, like I said, we do have that ability now with...
Yeah, it's cool to be part of it. Yeah, for sure.
It kind of gives people, like, their...
Yeah. Oh, like, I think we're getting overtaken here. Yeah. I think we're going to lose the battle.
Yeah. Well, we're about that time, man. We want to we'll look to wrap this up. But yeah. Cool. So, what's going on at the preview August 1st?
We're doing a preview night and fundraiser. So it's a suggested donation of $10 to the door. If you don't donate, it's not a huge deal. Obviously, we just want people to come. We're going to give a sneak preview of what we're showing. So we're going to have some trailers. We're going to show a best of from last year, so anyone who wasn't at the festival last year is just finding out about us. Kind of get a taste of what Sham's all about, so we'll be showing that. It's happening at Art Bar down on Cherokee. They're awesome. They're big supporters. You know, they've got a screen and a projector, so we'll be showing it throughout the night, so people can, like, sit and watch it or just kind of glance at it as the night goes on. We're going to have a couple drink specials. We're going to be doing, you know, handing out free stuff with raffles throughout the night. So it's, you know, really helping us raise money so we can make the festival as big as possible, but really about giving people a heads up and a sneak peek. And then the thing I'm most excited about that we just decided, that we just announced we're going to do is we're going to do pre-sale tickets, so discounted pre-sale tickets. So you can buy, there's going to be four individual programs, so a shorts program and then three feature-length films. So you can buy either tickets for each individual screening, or you can buy a festival pass or one day pass or whatever you want to do. So we're going to sell do a pre-sale of all those at discounted rates at the preview night only. So we're really excited about that. It's going to be fun.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And then September 25th and 26th.
Yep.
The big one.
Yep.
And that's Winfred Moore?
Winfred Moore.
Yeah.
Yeah, at Webster University.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never been. It's a nice place.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's a beautiful old auditorium that they've renovated. Actually, I think they just did a new renovation this year, so I'm excited to see it.
Yeah.
But it's where they do the Webster film series, you know, all those great restorations and classic films that they do. So, like, it's cool to be a part of that because it's such a great historic program that goes on in St. Louis. So for us to be able to work our way in, it's really, really awesome. We're really honored to be a part of it.
Yeah. I just was a part of the... St. Louis Film Festival for the first time last year.
Oh, cool.
Not a part of it as a, you know, filmmaker, yeah. But as a viewer.
You went to it?
Yeah.
Cool.
And I was my first time going into the Tivoli. And,
nice.
And I got to watch my friends, Josh Arnold, Andrew Topping, Frankie Chubb.
Yeah.
We made this movie. I guess they were cast in it. I don't know other than that they were had to do with it. But it was a movie called The Impersonators, and it was like a.
I didn't hear about that one.
It was like a kind of sort of a like Kick-Ass kind of thing, like where they're superhero kind of things.
Yeah,
and
cool.
They had to really fight crime.
Yeah.
So it's kind of in that kind of a. Realm,
yeah,
those, you know, but
The St. Louis International Film Festival is always amazing.
Yeah.
They do it like their program every year. Their lineup is awesome, and every year they get better with like bringing in actors, producers, directors, and doing all these special programs. It's we're lucky to have.
Yeah, that's it's what Zach was saying. How like he had heard of it, but he didn't realize like the weight or clout or whatever that you know that the festival really has. Like
yeah,
until he started. trying to pitch his own film. And,
oh yeah.
But he realized that the St. Louis has a real good thing going on.
Yeah.
There, so
yeah, they're big. They're awesome. Yeah.
So that's good. That's good to hear that things are happening.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Hopefully they'll share some love to this festival too.
I hope so. Yeah. Well, I mean, fingers crossed on hopefully one day we'll be as big as them.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, this has been great, man. Getting to hang out, get to talk to you a little bit, and get to know you. And,
yeah, you too. Thanks for having me on. This is really awesome.
Yeah. So come out to the film festival and have a good time. So August 1st at Art Bar, right?
Art Bar, yep.
Yeah, all right, cool. All right, thanks again, Matt.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll see you out there, man.
Yep.